Well, welcome back. Welcome back to part two of our series, Sexuality by Design. Last week, we looked at the battle over our physical bodies. We saw how our culture tells us that our bodies determine our worth, and our bodies are just tools for satisfying our desires. But we also counter with the biblical narrative. Our bodies do not measure our worth. Rather, our bodies are a breathtaking reflection of the glory, beauty, and holiness of God. And today, we're taking the exact same lens and applying it to an even deeper topic. We are going to look at the secular versus the biblical narratives about sex. And our defining theme for today is very simple: sacred, not casual. Sacred, not casual. Before we begin, I want to say this straight from my heart. Both as your pastor and a father, I wish I had known these truths when I was younger. It would have protected me from so much unnecessary confusion and saved me from a lot of heartbreak. Well, let's get started. If you were here last week, you know our approach. First, we're going to walk through some of the secular narratives about sex that are shaping our culture, our world today. And then we will apply, we will do a side-by-side comparison with three different biblical narratives to see why God's design doesn't just make more sense, but actually, it actually protects our souls and our heart. So let's get started. Once the body becomes just a way to satisfy ourselves, just like what we mentioned last week, sex become nothing more than a physical transaction. Sex become purely physical. Our culture treats sex like a casual physical act, promising that you can give your body away while keeping your heart, your soul completely separate. The world promises that we can unplug our emotion from our biology, and that what we can do with our physical body has absolutely no impact on our soul. Let's give an example. Our culture treats physical intimacy like a post-it note. A post-it note is designed to be casual. You can stick it to a desk, peel it off, move it to a fridge, peel it off, and then walk away. And it never damaged the surface it was on. The world tells us that we can do this with our bodies. Stick, peel, and then leave with zero, absolutely zero emotional damage. So church, this is our first narrative. The world tells us about sex. It is purely physical. An implication is that we can give our bodies away without it ever causing us our souls. Let's move to narrative number two. Sex as a test drive. Sex and a test drive. For many in the society, sex and cohabitation are fast tracks to intimacy. They are used to reveal a partner's level for care, communication skills, and willingness to please the partner. The world tells us that sexual intimacy is how we test drive a relationship to see if we are compatible enough to commit. But we aren't just guessing that, you know, this line is not just a guess. This is how people think, and the numbers prove it. A major study by the Pew Research Center a few years ago looked closely at how Americans view marriage and living together. what they find is a massive shift. As more people delay marriage or avoid it altogether, the culture has embraced what we call the test drive. Today, living together without the absolute commitment of marriage is not just common. For young adults, it has actually become the norm. And according to this study, 63% of young adults under 30 are convinced that living together first is the secret to a better marriage. 66%, around two-thirds of married adults who lived together before engagement confess that they use it as a stepping stone just to see if the relationship would survive. And also, nearly one in four cohabiting adults explicitly admit that they move in together specifically to test drive the relationship. So, church, this is how the world tells us you need to give your body away just to find out if someone truly loves you. Physical intimacy is treated as a prerequisite for a relationship, urging us to test whether someone's love is real. That's number two. Let's move on to the third narrative, closeness without commitment. The world sells us the illusion that we can experience the profound blessing of true intimacy without making any commitment. And deep down, every single one of us share a deep desire to be fully known and totally accepted. Without the fear of rejection, we all crave for connection, right? But the culture tells us actually we can get that soul-level connections through casual dating, hookup culture, what has become the defining relationship status of our day. That is the word I just learned. Situationship. A situationship is a messy gray area of dating. It's when two persons are doing everything a real couple does. Going on dates, hanging out constantly, being physically intimate, but they refuse to put a label on it. They're trying to let the connection, to get connections and the intimacy without ever having to make any commitment. In the situationship, there are no strings attached. It feels good at the moment because we get companionship, but there's absolutely no safety. And because there's no promise to stay, you never know. You never know if the other person will just pack up and leave tomorrow. So, church, these are the three secular narratives about sex that are shaping our world today. And when you look at these three ideas all together, you see where the world is trying to lead us. First, it tells us that intimacy is just casual and purely physical. It promises that we can give our bodies away while keeping our hearts totally separate. And when that leaves us feeling empty, the ideas shift because we are scared of heartbreak. It then tells us another thing, to use sex as a necessary test drive to see if someone is worthy of our love before we commit. And then finally, number three, it sells us a huge promise that we can somehow have a close connections without making any real promise to stay. In reality, however, when we look for deep intimacy without a strong, lasting commitment, things often don't turn out the way we hope for. Intimacy is meant to grow in the space of trust, of safety, and faithfulness. And without that foundation, it can lead to confusion, hurt, or unmet expectation. What feels meaningful in the beginning, in the moment, may not endure. And culture tells us to take a relationship for a test drive so that we don't get hurt. But interestingly, church, even secular research tells a different story. A major study from the University of Virginia, it's actually the real cover for this study. It's called Before I Do. Track young adults and found a paradox. The more people use physical intimacy to test drive a relationship without a commitment, the lower their marital quality and the higher the anxiety became later on. You can see the difference here, right? So we try to give away the most intimate pieces of ourselves to people that who have promised us nothing. The very relationship that were supposed to bring us joy inevitably causes deep anxiety. So, if the world advice has only left us feel empty, what is God's original blueprint for sexuality? And how does returning to it protect us today? To figure out why we are struggling today, we have to go back to the very beginning. Genesis, the book of Genesis, isn't just an ancient history lesson about how the world was made. It is a mirror that shows us exactly what's going on inside our heart today, right now. In the book of Genesis, God gave us several essential truths that counter the secular narrative we have just studied about sex and relationship. The first biblical narrative I will share is called Sex as a Sacred Union. When the world tells us that sex is only casual physical act, look back at Genesis. It tells us that there is no such thing as casual sex because God designed it to be a sacred union of heart, soul, and the body. According to Genesis chapter 2, verse 24, this is a familiar verse. I'm sure you have read it somewhere before. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and his mother and hold fast to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. This is the ESV version. In case you still don't understand, I list out the NIV version. This is why a man leave his father and mother and is united to his wife, and they become one flesh. When God tells a man to hold fast or to be united to his wife, it doesn't just mean falling in love. In Hebrew, I'm going to introduce just one word. Hebrew is called dabak, means to cling, to stick, to be glued together. God designed sex to be a sacred union. In God's design, sex is not just physical. And sex is designed to be the bonding agent that joined the husband and the wife together into one flesh, a profound fusing of two lives, spiritually, emotionally, and physically. And based on what is said in Genesis, there's no such thing as casual sex because you simply cannot unplug your heart from your body. When you give someone your body, you are giving them access to your emotions and your spirit. So this is the first biblical narrative. When the world says sex is just bodies rubbing together, God tells us that simply is not true. Sex is not just purely physical. Sex is designed by God as a sacred union. Now let's move to our second biblical narrative. We have all heard the secular argument that we need to test drive, right, a relationship before we commit. But does the Bible have anything to say about it? As it turns out, Genesis gives us a completely different perspective, one that offers the security we are actually looking for. So number two, intimate yet unashamed. Intimate yet unashamed. The world tells us that we have to risk giving our bodies away just to find out if someone truly loves us. It treats intimacy like a probationary period, a test drive where you are constantly proving your worth. But in Genesis chapter 2, verse 25, it completely reversed that cultural narrative. God does not ask anyone to risk their heart to earn love. And what is that here? And the man and his wife were both naked and were not ashamed. They were both naked and were not ashamed. How can Adam and Eve be totally exposed and yet feel zero shame? It is because a solid promise gives them the safety to be completely themselves. God provides an absolute safety of a lifelong covenant so that they can be fully exposed, fully known, and completely unashamed. Genesis shows us a profound truth here. Being fully exposed, being truly seen, is only safe after a lifelong commitment has been made. Think of intimacy like a roaring fire. In the right setting, a fire is one of the most beautiful and life-giving things in the world. The fire provides warmth, it gives light, and it draws people together, right? But a fire is only a blessing if it has a fireplace. In God's design, the stone wall, I think it looks like stone wall here, the stone wall of the fireplace represents the lifelong covenant of marriage. When you build these heavy stones of commitment first, the fire of intimacy becomes incredibly safe. You can sit close to it to be fully exposed to its warmth and enjoy its glow without fear of getting burned. With those walls in place, you don't need anything else to protect yourself. The walls do the protection. But the culture tells us a very different story. We can have the fire without the stones. It says we can just light a match in the living room and hope for the best. Can you believe that? And this is why so many people today are exhausted and covered in scars. Because intimacy without a promise isn't a cozy fireplace. It's a house fire. And without the safety of those stone walls, you will always be one spark away from a total disaster. God's design isn't meant to put your fire out. It's meant to give it a place, a safe place, where it can burn bright without any shame. Speaking to you tonight, not just as a pastor, but also as a father, I want you to hear this. Your body, our body, is a sacred gift. It is incredibly precious, and it is far too valuable to entrust to someone who has not made a lifelong promise to cherish and protect you. I hope you hear this. Last but not least, the third narrative from the Bible, the spark of shame. The spark of shame. The culture makes a bold promise that we can have deep intimacy without a deep promise, and that we can be together without being official. But let's look at Genesis 3 to see what actually happens when humanity stepped outside of God's secure design. After Adam and Eve disobeyed God, the Bible mentioned here, Genesis chapter 3, verse 7. Then the eyes of both were open, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves loincloths. The very first result of breaking the relationship with God wasn't freedom. It was shame. It was shame. Suddenly being fully known was no longer a blessing. It was a threat. The total openness that used to be beautiful was now a risk. But what did they do? They make fig leaves, a human effort, trying to get close while staying covered up. When we try to have intimacy without a commitment, we are doing exactly what Adam and Eve did. We want the connections, but we are afraid of the exposure. The world said avoiding a commitment keeps you safe. But Genesis here shows us that without a secure promise, we will always be hiding from each other. True intimacy is impossible when we are busy sewing fig leaves together to protect ourselves. We simply cannot be fully known if we are constantly covered up. So when we lay these three pairs of narratives side by side, we can see exactly why the world's way leaves us feeling so anxious and exhausted. First, the world tells us that sex is purely physical, a casual act that doesn't affect our soul. But God revealed that it is a sacred union, a profound lifelong bonding of two persons in one flesh. Second, the culture urges to use intimacy as a test drive to prove that we are worthy of love before making a promise. But God offers a confidence where we are protected by those stone walls, a place where we can be fully exposed yet completely unashamed. And the third one, the world promises we can have closeness without commitment. But Genesis warns us that seeking connections without a promise doesn't bring freedom. It brings the spark of shame, causing us to hide behind our self-made fig leaves. So to get out of this exhaustion, we have to intentionally shift from the world's broken narratives and go back to God's beautiful design. Now that we see the difference between the world, what the world says, and what God says. So the real question now is, what do we do next? What do we do next? Let's talk about how we can actually live out God's life-giving design in this moment. The first step to live out God's design is a mindset change, a shift in our mindset. It starts with choosing to think differently. Think differently. Are you listening to the secular narrative that tells you your body is just a tool? That intimacy is just a test drive? Or are you listening to the biblical narrative, the one that says your body is a treasure and your intimacy is sacred? When you look at the person you are dating, are you primarily checking for physical chemistry and compatibility? Or are you looking for godly characters and a heart that can keep a promise? We need to ask honestly, which narrative is actually shaping our life right now? Is it the world's or is it God's? Think differently. This is the first step to live out God's design. The second step to walk in God's design isn't just about what you think. It's about how you relate. Relate differently. Well, for many of us who are unmarried, God called us to protect our boundaries. The world tells you that boundaries are boring and that true love means having no limits. But God's word shows us today that boundaries actually are making us the intimacy possible. So remember God's word in Genesis 2:24. God says, a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast or unite with his wife. That phrase, hold fast, is a sacred vow. It's a permanent, no matter what, kind of grip. When you give away the intimacy of your body to someone who hasn't committed to staying, you are not being free. You are being unprotected. So relating differently means treating intimacy as a beautiful gift that comes after a promise instead of using it as a test run. Walking in God's design means that you refuse to give the deepest part of your physical and emotional self to someone who has not sworn that oath to you. However, relate differently is not just for those who are single. For the married couples here, God calls to cherish your spouse as well. Let's make the daily choice to actively cherish your spouse. Rebuild those stone walls so the fire of your intimacy has a safe place to burn. A word for the husband, including myself. In the classic book, Every Man's Battle, the author explained that the husband cannot truly cherish his wife if he is giving pieces of his eyes or imagination to other women. In a practical way, the author shared a defense tactic used to maintain visual purity. It's called bouncing your eyes. The core concept is that while you cannot always control the first look, the initial accidental sight of a tempting image, you are entirely responsible for the second look. Bouncing your eyes is like a reflex. You see it and then you instantly look away. It is about making sure that a first glance never becomes a second look. So husband, remember that. And for the couples, back to our analogy of the fireplace, let's have a regular fireplace checkup. Let's ask each other, is there any habit or friendship in our life that makes you feel our stone walls are thinning and the fire is becoming unsafe? Ask your spouse, is there anything that I'm doing or anything that we are allowing into our home that makes you feel less secure in our relationship? So whether you are single or married, the truth remains the same. Deep intimacy cannot survive without the deep security of a promise. Well, it's not enough to simply change our thoughts or guard our hearts. The beauty of God's design must be lived out in the open. We are called to act differently. Act differently. We have talked a lot about walking in God's design, but pursuing this beautiful design isn't just for the perfect couple. What about those of us who have already fractured God's design? And for some of us in the room, tonight's topic is more than just a Bible lecture. It is deeply personal because you are sitting here knowing that you have already crossed the boundaries we have talked about. Since the very beginning, shame has always made us wanting to hide. But we have to realize that our modern fig leaves, like keeping things casual or refusing to commit, are just temporary covers. They can never provide the true safety we are actually made for. But in the Bible, there's one thing I want you to know. After the fall, God stepped into the Garden of Eden, and instead of destroying humanity for their rebellion, God did something more. He made for Adam and Eve garments of skin. Genesis chapter 3, verse 21. God shed the blood of something innocent and personally clothed them. That ancient moment of grace point directly to our ultimate rescue. Jesus, who never sinned, was stripped naked on the cross, taking our ultimate shame upon himself. His blood was shed so that our sins could be covered by his righteousness, including our sexual brokenness, our relational failures, and our deepest, deepest shame. And since we are fully covered by that ultimate sacrifice, we do not need to hide in the dark anymore. That's the good news. We can safely step into the light. So tonight is the night you can stop hiding. We have the opportunity to bring our sexual struggles, our history, and our shame straight to the cross through honest confession to God. And God has already promised in 1 John chapter 1, if we confess our sins, He is faithful, He is just, to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So let's take a moment for quiet reflection and also confession. As we do so, I invite God to shine His light into every corner of our heart, not to condemn us, but to bring us into His truth. So let's have a minute of reflection and confession.